As we continue in worship, we have the opportunity to look upon the scriptures. We're going to be reading from the Gospel of Mark, the 14th chapter, verses 3 through 9. The words can be found on the screen as well. While he was at Bethany in the house of Simon the leper, as he sat at the table, a woman came with an alabaster jar of very costly ointment of nard, and she broke open the jar and poured the ointment on his head. But some were there who said to one another in anger, "Why was this ointment wasted in this way? For this ointment could have been sold for more than 300 denarii and the money given to the poor." And they scolded her. But Jesus said, "Let her alone. Why do you trouble her? She has performed a good service for me. For you always have the poor with you, and you can show kindness to them wherever you wish, whenever you wish. But you will not always have me. She has done what she could. She has anointed my body beforehand for its burial. Truly I tell you, wherever the good news is proclaimed in the whole world, what she has done will be told in remembrance of her." This is the word of the Lord for the people of God. Thanks be to God. Amen. Let us pray. Gracious God, we give you thanks for this time together in worship. We thank you for this community of faith that we can meet together this morning and to hear a word from you, to sing praises to you, to be reminded of your great love that you have for each one of us today. And so God, I ask that you speak through me and in spite of me, that your word might be proclaimed and we might hear what you would have to say to us today. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. So throughout the season of Lent, we began on Ash Wednesday, this past Wednesday, and we'll be going for the next 40 days, starting Wednesday, not including Sunday, so it's actually 47 days, but until we get to Easter, we'll be in this series called The Unlikely Lent by author Rachel Billups, similar to the Unlikely Advent. This study takes a close look at unlikely people we encounter through Jesus' death and resurrection, people who we don't talk about on the regular, who are important in the story. And during this season, there will be opportunities to hear each Sunday a little bit about the character and the idea. And then on Tuesdays, if you want to join, we'll have a small group over in the youth building and share a meal together as well. We invite you to bring a soup or a salad to come be a part of that, if you would like. You know, food really brings people together. Food is a sign of love and compassion towards others, especially in moments in which there is a challenge or transition, when we know that everyone needs to eat. And so if we can make that part of someone's life a little bit easier, we want to help provide food to someone in need. It's a natural way that we can help. Billups in the book says, "Food is a tangible sign of love declaring, 'I see you, I love you, and I am here to help.'" I see you, I love you, and I am here to help. In the first week, we are reading about Mary of Bethany, and the scene takes place around a dinner table. There are renditions of today's scripture in all four of the gospel texts of Jesus being anointed by a woman with a costly jar of perfume. Matthew and Mark place the story in the house of Simon the leper, and the woman who anoints Jesus is unnamed. In Matthew and Mark, we also read that the woman anoints Jesus' head, a prophetic act of anointing him king and Messiah in the empire of Caesar. In John's gospel, Jesus had just raised Lazarus from the dead, and even though some were excited, Jesus knew that he was in trouble. John places the story in the home of the three beloved friends as Jesus stops in with Mary, Martha, and Lazarus. I'm sure that Jesus had been there many times. Per usual, the food Martha prepared was delicious. The conversation was uplifting. It was a great evening. However, Jesus knew it wasn't all good. He was on his final route to Jerusalem, where he knew his story would end in tragedy, and there was some tension probably around the table. Like that tension when someone brings up politics or religion at the family Thanksgiving table. We've learned that Mary and Martha were different in their approach. You see, because earlier, Mary is the one who sits at the feet of Jesus and listens while others work and are busy doing things. Mary gets it. She, unlike the other disciples, knows what lies in store for Jesus. He's going to die. She could comprehend and accept what the others could not. And so in this scene around this dinner table, Mary breaks open an expensive perfume and begins to anoint the feet of Jesus. Mary brought with her a gift and an intention to share it. And Mary's act is a prophetic one, signaling Jesus's death. Suddenly, the future is now. In effect, Mary tells Jesus she knows he must die, but the comfort begins now. She's present now, and in her silence, Mary draws attention not to herself, but to the one she anoints. And she actually adds tension to the situation. Mary used perfume to express her thanks to Jesus for the restored life of Lazarus and for the friendship of Jesus. She wanted Jesus to experience the cool, comforting sensations of nard before he resumed his journey toward Golgotha. She accomplished that with this perfume that drove out the bad smells in the room and replaced it with the scent of angel's breath. In this story, Mary of Bethany gave all that she had to Jesus that day in this unlikely offering. The holy moment ended as in this scripture, the Gospel of Mark says, but some who were there said to one another in anger. In other places, we read that Judas objects to this action. He points out that, why would you do this? This is 300 days worth of salary cracked open and wasted on Jesus. Collectively, they were angry because, well, that money could have been given to the poor. Can you imagine the good that could have been done with this? What were you thinking, Mary? But Jesus was not having it. Jesus did not take issue with the temporary nature of the gift. He declares it as appropriate in that moment, particularly in light of his impending death. He is gracious enough to receive it with gratitude, and Jesus protected her and even praised her offering. Leave her alone. Why do you trouble her? For you always have the poor with you, and you can show kindness to them whenever you wish, but you do not always have me. Jesus' words were a quotation from Deuteronomy 15:11, where it says, for the poor will never cease out of the land. Therefore, I command you, you shall open wide your hand to the needy and to the poor in the land. Mary's gift breaks all sorts of barriers, shocks the people. There are social, cultural, religious taboos that separate them, but Jesus reaches across the boundaries to touch her life and our lives. And we're called to take risks, just like Mary did. We're called to take risks to bring the gospel to those on the margins, those who are suffering, those who are lost, those who are in need. Throughout the scriptures, we see Jesus defend and love those who others were trying to dismiss. We see it time and again, especially different women throughout the scriptures, such as the Samaritan woman at the well, or the woman who committed adultery, or now the woman who blesses Jesus with perfume. There are many folks who would like to agree with Judas, and what Judas had to say may have been even practical truth, but Jesus had a deep passion for caring for those who were vulnerable. And we're called to do the same for the foreigner, for the widow, for the orphan, to open our hand to those who are poor and needy. Maybe Jesus knew that Judas and or others could have been portraying some kind of false piety. The call to generosity will lead us to reflect on the life of Jesus, who shows us what it means to completely give of oneself. Throughout the Gospels, Jesus provides a blessed abundance, wine, fishes and loaves, and the call of the disciples to fish on the other side of the boat. We see abundance wherever Jesus is present. In the book, once again, Billup says, in a world where scarcity seems to be the name of the game, abundance feels like a healing balm. Perhaps that was Jesus's point. This unlikely offering by Mary of Bethany was over the top, a demonstration of the grace God was pouring over all of creation. Love calls us to empty ourselves by giving of costly things such as talents and gifts. Love calls us to respond in unlikely ways beyond what we were thought we were capable of doing. We can offer God and others over-the-top generosity. Mary understands the sacrifice that is about to take place. We live our lives in the shadow of the cross, but we also live in the presence of the risen Christ. So here is an invitation to daily companionship with Jesus at the table, in extravagant acts of compassion and generosity and moments of worship and service. Mary of Bethany, an unlikely character in making an unlikely gift. Mary seemed to see Jesus with more clarity than the other disciples. And she was right there, fully present, fully aware, and fully engaged in the deep mystery of Christ's presence. Her final gift to the Lord. She was not saving it. So this week, an unlikely offering. What is your unlikely offering? We see it all the time around here, right? Maybe it's making pillowcases. Maybe it's organizing something. Maybe it's cooking a meal. Maybe it's writing a card. God uses these unlikely things to do extraordinary and to show extraordinary love in people's lives. Friends like Mary of Bethany, your unlikely offering does not have to be perfect. It just has to come from a willing heart to respond to Jesus. Let us pray. Gracious God, we love you and thank you for this time. We thank you for the ways in which you're at work in our life and how you call us to respond by giving of ourselves and through our gifts and our talents, through our generosity, as we respond to your great love that you have for us. And so, God, we all have something to give. Unlikely things. Things that you have placed in our life that are unique to us. And so, God, may we ponder that during this season, and may we respond in unlikely ways. We thank you for using us for your kingdom and to show in your love. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.